fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety. And those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of 5-Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. 5-Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. 5-Alarm Task Force is brought to you by 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Fire Training LLC, your best bet for fire service thermal imaging camera training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, LifeScan Wellness Center, saving the lives of America's heroes, Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tool for the fire service, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The 5-Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 5-Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be with you once again. We have a great show for you today. My guests are returning guests and probably two of the biggest names and voices, thank goodness, in firefighter fitness and overall wellness. And that is Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss, and they'll join us in just a few moments. We want to remind you to please visit our website, www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. Remember, it's .org, not .com. And there you can visit, learn more about our new company, 5-Alarm Task Force Corp, and you'll have the ability to make a donation, should you so desire, to help us in our efforts to be able to reach out and assist firefighters and hopefully eventually down the line and other first responders in dire need. While you're on the website, we hope you'll stop by that right there on the homepage. You can sign up for our newsletter. It comes out about 7-8 times a month. We have the last one for the show be coming out shortly, just probably between the holidays, and keeps you abreast of what's happening and the changes and maybe what's coming up, give you a little future view. And all you have to do is put in your email address. We do not sell email lists. We do not give them away. We protect your email address to the best we can under the law. And should you ever decide you want to unsubscribe, all you have to do is send an email to dalmatprod@outlook.com. That's right. We're still using that for some parts of our work, dalmatprod@outlook.com. And just please put the word unsubscribe in the subject line, and that'll be it. You'll be off immediately after we receive that email. We hope you won't want to do that, but we're here to make you aware that we do try to protect it when we can. If you follow us on Facebook, we hope you'll like us. Just look for 5-Alarm Task Force Corp, and you'll get right to our page. And right now, I was there this morning, and I think we had nearly 600 friends there, and that's terrific. We really enjoy having all of you there, paying attention to our posts. I don't get to post as often as I'd like to on a personal basis. Most of them are promoting a new podcast or videocast, but just know that if you follow us on Facebook, it means a great deal to us. And many of you listen to the audio podcast on podcast platforms. We're on all the major platforms and even ones we never even heard of before, but we're there. And many of those platforms allow you, the listener, once you subscribe, to leave a review. And that's going to be very important, both to us and to the platform, to us, because without reviews, we're very, very low on the search table in that algorithm they use. Whereas with good reviews and good number of them, we're higher up when someone goes looking for 5-Alarm Task Force. And there's no money involved here. It's just when other people look for us, they'll find us more quickly if we're higher up in the algorithm. So please, if you haven't done so already, but you're a regular listener, and even if you've only listened to one episode, please use your platform's review capability and just write a couple of sentences and a few stars for us. We really appreciate it. And that's it. By the way, you know, on our website now, we have our new T-shirts for sale with our motto on the back and our regular logo on the front. And the net proceeds of those T-shirts goes to our foundation account. We've already helped a couple of situations. We have a check we're going to be writing soon for the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. So anything you can do to help us, boy, we'd love it. It'll be great to have you on the team. And that's it. So we'll be right back with our guests, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Jim Moss, talking about firefighter fitness and wellness right after these words. Please stay tuned. New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 thermography certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com. Your best bet for TIC training. The Firehouse Tribune, where inspiration was forged by those who came before us, opening the doors for us to build a path. A path to share our mission with the rest of the emergency service world. With a small, tight-knit team of first responders dedicated to sharing experiences and knowledge, we constantly strive to provide our followers with thought-provoking content from all aspects of emergency services and life. Our contributors speak at top fire and EMS conferences in the country. They have been guests on numerous fire service podcasts and will even come and speak at your firehouse or event. Interested? Visit their website, www.thefirehousetribune.com. And find them on Facebook using the Firehouse Tribune, and on Twitter at FH Tribune, and on Instagram, FH Tribune. We live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life as well. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Until next time, work hard, stay safe, and live inspired.
Welcome to Chief Miller. Chief Miller operates the largest social media page dedicated to the men and women of the fire service from around the world. Check him out on Instagram at Chief_Miller. Find him on Twitter at Chief_Miller. And check out the website where you can find Chief Miller Apparel at ChiefMillerApparel.com.
And welcome back to this episode of Five Alarm Task Force. And for today's episode, I am really happy to welcome back my two guests. They've been with us several times before. And I can't think of two better people who underscore the meaning of firefighter health, wellness, and fitness for duty, which, as they know, is part of the mission statement for the podcast. And all we add to that is the firefighter cancer and mental health initiatives. And my first guest is Chief Dan Kerrigan. He is co-author of the best-selling book, Firefighter Functional Fitness, and Fire Chief of the Upper Providence Township Fire Department in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, right around the corner from our family. We have family in Abington Township in Jenkintown. He is a 35-year fire service veteran, certified peer fitness trainer, certified group fitness instructor, advocate for firefighter health and wellness, and international presenter on the topic. He serves as an at-large director of the International Association of Fire Chiefs Safety, Health, and Survival Section, where he works regularly with national and international organizations on strategies to improve firefighter health and wellness. Joining us today also is Captain Jim Moss. He is captain of the Metro West Fire Protection District in St. Louis County, Missouri. My brother used to live in St. Louis, in University City, as a matter of fact. He is the co-author of the best-selling book, Firefighter Functional Fitness. He is also the author of Firefighter Success, 20 C's to Firefighter Excellence. Gap is certified personal trainer, a peer fitness trainer, and he shares his message nationally, speaking at major fire conferences and fire departments and little teeny tiny podcasts like ours. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome you back to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
So good to be back.
Thank you. Chief, I'm going to start with you. You both are on the par as two of the greatest national leaders that we have to underscore the importance of firefighter health, wellness, and fitness for duty. What's happening as of late with you and the two of you and the teaching, and what's going on? New book coming out by any chance?
No, honestly, no new book just yet. We've been in discussions on some other projects that may take the shape of a more online approach. And that's probably the main thing that we've been talking about so far. I mean, we certainly got hit as hard as everybody else did with the COVID crisis in terms of our in-person teaching, right? Sure. So, you know, that's just the reality of it right now. We're still promoting the book every day, writing, doing the articles, doing the podcasts. And we did have just recently finished a live, you know, workshop down in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we should be doing another one here in December at Jim's department. So we are slowly trying to get back into that groove. We feel like, you know, as proud as we are of the book, we feel like that when we can contact people in person and make those connections and share our information live, I think we get the best bang for our buck, and so do they that way. So yeah, we're just going to start working on reconnecting with some of the departments that we had been talking about coming out to visit before COVID hit, and do the best we can with that, along with the other projects that I mentioned.
Yeah, well, listen, as you said, we all were hit with it. That was one of the reasons why I actually moved to the Zoom platform, because mm-hmm. I wanted to keep the podcasts up, and this way, instead of just hearing a hollow voice through instead of earphones, people actually get to see the speakers. Sure. We post both the audio as the podcast and the video we post on our channel on YouTube, which is named after our new corporation, nonprofit, 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. So all our videos are being posted up there. And for the same reason, basically, as I said, you know what? If these people can't go out to teach, and I don't know how many are Zooming on their own, let's keep the podcast going, because there is no danger from COVID during a podcast.
And absolutely,
let us keep the teaching alive and the information flow going. Cap, what about with you? What's going on? By the way, you've moved since, right? Is this a new location for you?
Not necessarily a new location. Last time we may have talked, I might have been a lieutenant, so moved up in the ranks per se, but still at Metro West Fire in St. Louis County. Just like everywhere else in the nation, we're having ebbs and flows with COVID. So I've been staying busy with that at my department and just trying to stay safe and smart there. Getting work, going to fires, and just staying busy, like Dan said. And we're definitely looking forward to teaching at my fire department in December. We're looking forward to FDIC next year. Hopefully that's still on. Exactly. Fingers crossed.
Talk about withdrawal.
You know, you gotta stay optimistic. And I think for all of us, you know, we talk a lot about fitness, but I think a lot of this has really tested our mental fitness, sure. has tested our emotional fitness. And it, like you said, it's good to be able to connect person to person via Zoom or whatever platform that may be, and getting to see each other's face. We really need to do that. We need to make sure we're not isolating because our behavioral and emotional health will definitely affect our physical health as well.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we've all seen it. We've seen it in the trades. We've seen it in the news blasts, and where all that is just taking more of a toll than, you know, the news gives you numbers when you see the newscast.
Right.
But when you don't have that connection with somebody, it makes a big difference. And you kind of lose sight of sometimes where you are. And for firefighters, I think we are, and we know, I mean, what the toll the COVID has taken on on our brothers and sisters, our firefighters, our paramedics, our EMTs, our nurses, our doctors, our respiratory therapists, et cetera, has taken a terrible toll. We know just over the weekend, we lost another firefighter from the South to COVID. If our, as you said, if our emotional health isn't, can't always be the top, but if we don't try to feed that emotional health, then we do forget about our physical health, because it's
That's right.
Inner drive that gets us to go exercise and do things for ourselves. And if that's
all connected,
exactly.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. Exactly. And I think that I hope that our listeners and viewers will understand that, because it is, you can't just say, well, I'm working out at home. And another good friend of the podcast, Aaron Zanzo, was on a little over a month ago. And Aaron was saying the same thing. He was saying, you know, if you can't get to your weight room, or if the weight room's been closed in your department, okay, go get a couple of gallon water jugs, fill them up and start playing with them, put sand in them, water, sand, whatever you want to do. And you have your first set of hand barbells to work from.
Exactly.
And you can take a bucket from Home Depot and you can fill that and you can do that, something with that. There's always something. If your mind, if you keep your mind keen and well, there's always something you can find to do to keep yourself in shape.
Exactly. And one of the things that I've really been focusing on when it comes to physical fitness is more so body weight exercises. And as we all know, there's no lack of body weight exercises that right. we can do. I mean, we actually have what, Dan, like I think 170 posted on our YouTube channel. If you go to Firefighter Functional Fitness on YouTube, we have like 170 videos for people to do. They can mix and match different exercises together and string it together a little circuit, a body weight circuit, get some cardio in, get some strength training in. So there's really no excuse. It really comes back to having that mental fortitude to go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to work out today, even if it's going to be body weight, or if it's going to be with 2 gallon, you know, water jugs or whatever it is, there's no excuses. We just got to get it done.
Right. Now, Cap, is your department more of a volunteer?
So we are a career department. We're suburban. We have approximately 60 square miles, 5 engine houses. About 80% of our areas is water areas, and 20% is more rural, no water areas. So we have a little blend of everything, but it's mainly suburban career fire department.
Right. Okay. And Cap, Chief, what about you now, North Providence?
Yeah, so we're actually in sort of a transition, I guess, if you will. So we have a career component here in Upper Providence, and we're continually expanding that as we speak. We're getting ready to open bids on a new central fire station, and working also directly with a number of volunteer organizations that also serve our community, and we're transitioning there too to a different sort of model. So you could call us a combination fire department. You know, we work together to get the job done. We're trying to do as best we can with supporting the volunteers that still remain, but a lot of that model is also converting to what we will call a stipend or overnight programs that they're stepping up. So you know, it, depending on what other station, you know, outside of our career, you know, component here, depending on what other station you talk about, there could be any combination in the next year to 2 to 3 years of additional career firefighters that work under me, or volunteer stipend firefighters that are paid, you know, stipends to do overnight shifts, and any combination of that we can get accomplished to really to meet the NMPA standard that we're trying to meet in terms you know, response benchmarks. So it's a work in progress, but we're moving quickly in that direction to establish that.
That's great. Well, we all know that there's a dearth of volunteers in fire and rescue today. Our whole society has changed in the last 30 years. I remember when I used, as I mentioned, with family in Jenkintown, I'd come up and there was Ogaunts and there was McKinley and there's Willow Grove and Abington, and there was every three blocks, there was another volunteer fire department, even when there was good enrollment with volunteers. And, you know, I remember spending a lot of time with Willow Grove, and they just had their volunteers coming out of their ears. But today, with the whole change in society and the less volunteer time that's available and so many other challenges, you know, usually both parents are working at least one full-time job. One of them is probably working a second job, and the second one may be working a second job, and maybe the first one's working actually a third job just to get by. And while they love doing what they did, it's just kind of become out of reach for them. But have you seen in the last, let's say, year and a half to 2 years, a change in the mental approach of firefighters, both the career firefighters and those who are volunteering, well, again, even if it's part pay, something like that, regarding their physical health? Are they being more, taking ownership of it more, do you think?
I think they are. I think, you know, Jim and I had, we said this from the start, from the outset, and anybody, and it's not just Jim and I, Aaron, you know, all the folks that are deeply involved in the overall firefighter health and wellness initiatives that are out there. We know and believe that it's a sort of a legacy approach that we're trying to accomplish. You know, we're not going to change this overnight. We're happy to see that on-duty firefighter deaths continue to trend down. We're not quite as happy to see that the percentages of those that unfortunately lose their lives are staying somewhat the same. Right. So people need to realize that. But I think overall, to answer your question, I've seen a tremendous difference in attitude in the last few years. I think that, you know, Jim likes to say the tide is rising. It continues to rise. I think it's because folks like yourself help us promote what we're promoting. There are all kinds of organizations out there that just have had enough, really, to be quite honest with you, and are tired of, us, you know, organizations that put higher priority on the things that they own versus the people that they employ or volunteer there. And we're trying to change that attitude, right? It's about priorities. And I think the stronger the leadership is in that regard, if it starts at the top, you know, and that's my role here, right? You know, it grows exponentially. And so there's definitely been in my mind, a positive, you know, there's been an improvement, but we still have a lot of work to do. We can't, sure. You know, we can't take our foot off the gas and say, I think, you know, we got it now and we're good. Right. Cause we don't, we still have a lot of work to do. So, you know, maybe another 5 years when some of the younger firefighters that we get to come in contact with that follow us or whoever else that they follow in terms of health and wellness, as they grow into leadership positions in their fire departments, you know, the hope I've always had is that, you know, it becomes the rule, not the exception, you know, that we put as much effort into our own preventive maintenance as we do our apparatus, because it's proven to work. So, right. Yeah, I'm a glass half full guy.
That's good.
I always have been. And I just, you know, sometimes it gets frustrating. And Jim and I, you know, we talk about it a lot offline, you know, and we share frustrations and kind of try to pick each other up when we're down from time to time. But it seems like whenever you just start to feel that way, you know, we'll get a text message or a message on a social media or an email, or somebody will share a success story and thank us for just, you know, being a part of that. And it just picks you right back up, and it kind of reaffirms that you know, maybe some people are actually listening and we're making some progress here. And it's a team effort. It really is a team effort. Jim and I are just two people that are passionate about it in a sea of what I believe to be thousands of firefighters and firefighting supporters and all that are passionate about it. So yeah, it's we're making progress, I think.
Yeah. And if I can add to what Dan said, you know, your original question was, you know, about firefighter fitness. Yeah. But I think, and Dan alluded to it, is not only firefighter fitness, but firefighter wellness as a whole. I mean, we already touched on behavioral health. And that's really within the last 10 years we've really shined our spotlight on that, as well as cancer prevention. And so there, and there's so many other different aspects of overall firefighter wellness that when I first came in the fire service, and Dan can definitely agree when he first came into fire service, were never, ever talked about. Right. But we're starting to talk about those things. And for example, you know, behavioral health and cancer prevention in my fire department has really, you know, become really important within the last 2 years. So it's not only, you know, fitness and hitting the gym, but we're really starting to take in the fire service as a whole, a comprehensive approach to firefighter wellness. And that's really, really great to see.
You know, it's interesting that you brought it up that way. When I was subscribing to Periscope, and I'd get a little alert, and I'd look at it, and I'd look at the video. And most of the time, it was very frustrating because I would see an active fire, it's a working fire, live video streaming, and I see an officer in a white coat and a white hat in the warm zone with his bunker jacket open and his no gloves on, his radio in his hand. At one fire, then the video went to a firefighter at the door to make entry. Now, this was the hot zone. You could see fire coming out of the structure. And he was kneeling in front of the door to put on his hood and put on his SCBA. So he hadn't been wearing
at the door with the door open, active fire, right?
Right, exactly. So
it comes back to those culture change. And that's what we're all talking about is changing the culture, right? One person at a time, with not only, you know, our fitness training, our wellness, but our training, and making sure when my firefighters get off the rig, we're completely geared up and we're ready, right? We got our SCBAs on our backs. We have our hoods on, and we got our masks ready on our regulators.
And they're wearing the seatbelts on the rig.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's another cultural change that we've been fighting for since the 1980s, right?
Exactly. We usually play one PSA, one of two PSAs we have about firefighter seatbelts on every podcast because we feel now it's that important. There are still, Chief, as you said, the legacy. There's still a legacy. I can't fit in my seat with a seatbelt, you know.
I commend to the fire service back during the time where people were remarking that NFPA 1500 was going to be the quote unquote death of the fire service. And, you know, somehow here we are, we survived it and we try to do better. I've never been one to say that any of our longstanding traditions per se are that they need to go away. There's lots of good culture in the fire service that absolutely needs to remain here and be untouched. And I'll argue with anybody about that. But at the same time, we need to be smart about what we do. And, it's up to us to decide what's cool. You know, I mean, we're the ones that are in charge of that. So, you know, we're making that progress. I think it's an overhaul comprehensive approach. Like Jim said, I mean, I speak about wellness a lot. You know, I know people know us for fitness, quote unquote, but you know, it really is about all of that. It's about all of the different components that just, you know, getting people to understand that there are actually a lot of risk factors out there that we have control over. You know, whether it's your nutrition or your fitness or your behavioral health or, you know, helping each other like that, or whether it's how we act on a fire ground or whatever, we've never gotten into that debate about how to put your next fire out. You know, I was always said that, you know, you should beware of anybody that tells you how to put out your next fire. Right. So we don't get into that debate. You know, I'm as aggressive as they come. I'm sure Jim would say the same thing. You know, our job is to keep you alive so that you can have those debates. But there's things that we can do to control risk factors, you know, whether it's our health or our actions and limit the uncontrolled. I mean, at the end of the day, the job is very difficult and very dangerous. We can't control everything. So we should control what we can control and be smart about what we can be smart about.
Right. And we can control a lot, right?
Yes, we can control a lot. That's really the point of it is we absolutely can control a lot.
We use a phrase here that, you know, when you take your oath to protect lives and property, the first life you have to save is your own.
Right.
So you can't serve the community. Right. You can't serve your community if you're not well enough to do so.
Yeah, right. We have to mind our own store first, right? You know,
exactly.
Whether it's fitness or nutrition or hydration or sleep, you know, rest and recover, all the things that we talk about, you know, are, you know, if we're not taking care of ourselves, then we're not going to be as effective as we can be taking care of others.
Right. And that's the last thing we want to see on something like that noted on Chief Billy's secret list, because we don't want to hit that right. kind of news. We only exactly. want to get the good news in. Listen, accidents happen. We know that. Our dear brother in San Francisco is still having a tough time, but that was an accident because a bus ran over the hose line and threw him over, and he hit his head. You can't necessarily prevent stupid people from doing stupid things to us while we're working. But we have, once we get that badge, we have an obligation to do the best we can for ourselves so that we can take care of others. And I have to admit, you know, this is your third or fourth time on the show, but every time you guys stress, not just the fitness stuff, you stress the wellness, the overall wellness that a firefighter must maintain to do his or her job.
Because it has to be a comprehensive approach. I mean, working out, and you know, you've seen the memes and all the funny posters, you know, a workout, a 30-minute, an hour-long workout is, you know, 3 or 4% of your day. What are you doing with the rest of your day? I mean, and are you getting adequate sleep, with which, and Dan will argue, and I'm sure you've, from the guests you've had on the show, sleep right now is just such an eye-opener for us to really narrow down and focus on. If you really want to improve every aspect of your health, including your fitness and your emotional and mental health, focus on your sleep for one thing. And I know when we're on duty, we're on call, whatever, it's not always easy to do that. But when we're off, we can definitely focus on our sleep a little bit more than when we're on duty.
But luckily, I've seen a change in the culture of how especially newer fire stations are being built.
Yes.
And we're now getting private rooms instead of the bunk rooms. We have only segmented alerting, which is good, so that you don't have to rouse the whole house if it's just an EMS call, if you run EMS in your barn. So just the EMS people are aroused, and the firefighters get to hopefully sleep unless they get, you know, co-alarm with it. But you know, as someone who has suffered with intractable back pain for over 25 years, and what that does with insomnia, it takes a very, very heavy toll. You know, not that I want to, but, you know I finally had to cave a bit and move to a prescribed sleeping medication, because it was the only way that I could get maybe more than 2 or 3 hours of sleep at night.
Right.
And it makes no difference whether you're working or you're not working. If you won't, that's all you get, you just don't function properly.
Exactly. And it's almost like you're under the influence of alcohol.
Exactly. That's a great way of putting it. I never thought of it that way. But yeah, you're right. That's exactly the way you feel. You're just not, you're like 75% of who you normally are, and that you miss that 25% acuity that you need.
Yep.
So that, that's a good point.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, I worked an overtime shift, which ended up being my normal 48. So I had an overtime shift. It was a 72. The first night I was on the fire truck, but we went out 6 times between midnight and 5:30. So and we got back from a fire at 11, got cleaned up, went to lay down at 11:30. So needless to say, the first day of my 72, I did not sleep at all until I could get a nap the next day. So a recovery rest, as I like to call it.
That's what it is. You know, you're active, no matter what you're active in, that recovery rest is necessary. And whether you do it in a nap during the day or the next night, you need to get that sleep, because the body knows when it's empty.
Right. And I don't think we should be, and Dan and I have talked about this, I don't think we should be shunning our firefighters if they need a nap. If you're napping for 8 hours in the middle of the day and you got a good night's sleep the night before, that's a different story. But our bodies, it's okay to take naps. And we preach that in our classes all the time. Like you just said, listen to your body, listen to your mind. And when you need it, take that quick nap. We try and tell people to limit it to, you know, about 30 minutes to an hour, or less than that. Getting far beyond that, then you're going to start affecting your night sleep cycle, which isn't good. But, you know, get what you can when you can, especially when you're on duty.
Sounds good. All right, well, we're going to take a break here, folks. And when we come back in just a moment, if you're watching the video, it will seem like nothing at all happened. If you're listening to the audio, we'll have a few words for you. So, as always, please stay tuned. The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lay, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything! What the hell are you thinking? You see, it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino, the first person down, that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face piece on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
You show up for your shift, but you're not feeling 100%. You greet your colleagues with a smile, but just can't put your finger on it. I'll shake it off in an hour, you think to yourself. You take a couple of nothing runs, but you're still not feeling any better when you get back to the barn. You throw some cold water on your face and think, yeah, that's more like it. And you head back to the day room. With training scheduled for after lunch, you make yourself comfortable in one of the recliners, but as you sit there, you feel ill. You start to sweat, and you feel nauseous. There's a pain in your left arm that you've never had before. Hey guys, you call out. I'm not feeling well. And your voice trails, your eyes close, and the darkness surrounds you. More firefighters die from cardiovascular health issues than any other reason. Don't let self-pride get in the way of taking care of yourself. See your doctor on a regular basis, and be sure to advise him or her that you're a firefighter. Don't be a statistic. Be a healthy firefighter with a long career. For more information, visit the IAFF, NVFC, or IAFC SHS websites. Time to call it a night. The kids are tucked in, the TV's off, and the dog's in the den. Seems all is calm. But wait, it's not all right. When it's time for bed, keep your family safe in the event of a fire. Close before you doze. In other words, close your bedroom doors when it's time to sleep. You've installed working smoke and carbon monoxide alarms and practiced fire escape plans. Now add this important step to protecting yourself and your loved ones. Close before you doze. Closed doors dramatically decrease heat and carbon monoxide levels, providing trapped occupants more time to escape when seconds count. Closed doors can slow the spread of smoke and fire, conserve oxygen levels, and keep temperatures significantly lower. Also remember, if you're the last one to exit, make sure you close the main door. For more information about close before you doze, visit ulfirefightersafety.org. A life safety message from UL Firefighter Safety Research Institute, your local fire department, and Five Alarm Task Force.
And we're back with my guests, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss. You probably know them from the book Firefighter Fitness, and you can see them probably at any of the international conferences, many of the regional conferences, and lots of local conferences that they do. And I have to admit, I mean, following them on social media, it's not always a national conference or regional conference. They'll go out to a small community and invite that, let that firehouse invite a few others there. and they'll do a conference there. So if you want to have a conference with Jim or Chief Kerrigan, we're going to give you, before we end, we're going to give you the way to contact them. You can find them and talk with them, because, you know, not everybody gets to go to FDIC or the other big conferences. And maybe depending where you are, you might not have a big regional conference, but they do these smaller groups as well. And so there's no reason why you can't set up an arrangement for a future date with them as they come up. So we're going to come back, and you mentioned something during the break that I think it's great to talk about. And that is what you call the four pillars. Could you explain that to our listeners and viewers, please?
Yeah. So if you're not, if your listeners aren't familiar with our book yet, we have our concept, the four pillars of firefighter functional fitness. The first of which is physical fitness, which most of us think about when it comes to firefighter fitness. Secondly, we have recovery and rest. Third is hydration. And fourth is everyone's favorite, nutrition, and the easiest to implement, right? Nutrition. We all would agree with that. But if you have our book, you're familiar with those things, and we dive pretty deeply into each of those. We'd say that probably the physical fitness pillar takes up probably 2/3 of our book, wouldn't you say, Dan?
It's over half, definitely.
Yeah. And then we dedicate a chapter each to recovery and rest, nutrition, hydration, and then we have some supplemental extra chapters that are helpful for firefighters and chief officers as well, wanting to really bolster the culture of fitness at their own fire department. But within the physical fitness pillar, we have our Big Eight concept. And the way we came up with our Big Eight concept was pretty simple. We just looked at the actual movements that firefighters do. You know, so many times, at least for myself, and Dan would probably admit as well, so many times when we're taught to start working out, especially as men, we're taught to do chest and biceps and triceps and pinky curls and all the above, right? We're taught to focus on body parts and muscles as opposed to actual firefighter movements. So the Big Eight, simply explained, the first three are fundamental foundations for the rest of firefighter functional fitness. First three are core strength, so building a strong core. We also have cardiovascular capacity. We all know, and we could talk on end about how important cardiovascular fitness is for firefighters. The third is flexibility and mobility, which you talk to any firefighter, they're probably going to say that they lack physical flexibility and mobility and range of motion. And then the last five, the functional strength categories, are pushing, pulling, lifting, carrying, and dragging. So we break down different exercise movements that are more functional, more practical, and task-oriented for firefighters to implement into their physical routines.
Now, you mentioned that cardiovascular.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about the lower number of line-of-duty deaths, thank goodness, that from the report that just came out the other day. But we need to remember and remind our listeners that of whatever number of line of duty deaths in a given year have been, at least over the last 10 years, if not more, the number one cause has been cardiovascular disease or high blood pressure.
Right. And I think, and we have this in our book, the physical strain of firefighting is like no other sport or profession. And that could not be more true, especially when we're putting on 70 pounds of gear to do what we do, to have that adrenaline within our bodies. You know, the adrenaline alone getting our heart rate to 130 to 150, you know, the tones drop and we hear a rescue and a working fire, your heart rate goes right to 150, right? Because that adrenaline pump.
And you haven't even done anything yet.
Getting, you're heading to the truck, right? Or running to the truck. Maybe there's the start of your cardio. The physical strain of firefighting is like no other. And Dr. Denise Smith has great material. If you're listening to this right now, just Google her name and the amount of resources and the research that she has done about, you know, the effects of dehydration on firefighters and heat stress and for firefighters. as well as the importance of cardiovascular fitness. I mean, it's really unparalleled out there. There's nothing like it. So I would encourage all listeners to definitely check her out and the work she's done, along with Dr. Gavin Horn, has done some awesome work as well. And we have a lot of their research in our book as well. But when it comes to firefighters, you know, we have a lot of different statistics, a lot of different facts in our book about what each type of firefighting task entails. But if you look at NFPA, the basic minimum for what we call VO2 is just to measure your cardiovascular fitness would be 42. That converts to a MET value or a metabolic equivalent of a task at 12. So that's the minimum. So when we talk about firefighter search and rescue under smoke conditions, that has a MET value that carries 16. So that is like a VO2 of close to 60, 55, 60, if you're converting it. And so if any firefighter has ever even done RIT training, they know how stressful it can be to, you know, perform a search and rescue, actually drag a firefighter or a victim out. And so we know the importance of cardio as it pertains to those items. And so if we hammer down anything, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we hammer down people's throats when it comes to firefighter fitness. But if you can only do one thing to improve yourself and your fitness, really focus on your cardio. That's really going to help you.
It really comes down to the fact that, like, we try to, you know, we're firefighters, right? That's maybe where some of the credibility comes from in this, right? Is we do this stuff. Right? Even I still do this stuff, you know. And so we try to think of a way to communicate with the firefighter that in a way they could understand. We're always trying to take the science and the data, if you will, and convert that into something that is just usable and easy for the masses to understand.
Sure.
And so really what it comes down to is that strenuous firefighting affects every single body system that we have. And it affects our body systems in dramatic and drastic ways. Like, I mean, I've said, you know, it's probably going to be very difficult for most of us mere mortals to replicate the physical changes that our body goes through when we firefight. You can't do that really in the gym. You can get close sometimes, but it's very difficult for you to run your heart rate well up over 200 beats a minute, and obviously everything else that goes along with it. So yeah, it's just about, you know, for us, it's about translating that really, really important science and research that we're privy to into something usable that the rest of us can understand, in terms of like why it's important, first of all, and then what you need to do to improve.
Right. You know, it's funny you talked about that heartbeat when the bells drop. I've been out since 85. That's when I got hurt. Yet I've always carried a full BLS pack in every vehicle I've owned since then. And I've never not stopped.
Right.
Emergency if I was the first or second person.
Right. Well, it's all in that oath you took, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And yet my daughter or my wife, or when all three of them were in the car, my daughters, but they would, how can you do that, Dad? And, you know, with your back. But as soon as I see the accident and I have to start to pull over and I hit my lights, yes, I'm using legal lights for the state of Florida, that adrenaline kicks in. And I've been in the back seat holding a woman's head for 20 minutes waiting for EMS to show up. And I get back to the car and I'm fine. But about 10 minutes later, 50 minutes later, even though I wear a device to help block the pain signal, the body still knows when it's in pain, even if I'm not getting the signal. And that adrenaline runs out, dissipates, and then the wave of tiredness just comes over you.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't.
That's what we do, right?
Exactly.
That's what we do.
I can't stop doing it unless physically I'm totally unable to do it. Because it's who we are, and it is what we do. We care about people, whether we're in our own departments, we're visiting grandma in another state, we're visiting other family or friends in another state. If we see an emergency, we're the first ones to stand up and say, I'll help.
Right. What do you exactly mean? Because it's a calling. I mean, like I said before, you took that oath, Dan took that oath, and we all did. And it's just something we understood, like you just said, because we care, because we see someone in need, because we have compassion. And once we start to lose that, we need to kind of check ourselves and say, hey, what's going on? And if we completely lost it, maybe it's time to get out, you know, because we're doing ourselves and those around us a disservice.
Right.
But along with that caring and compassion comes a responsibility. And that's, I think, where, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, we gut check ourselves every once in a while. We certainly, when we teach at conferences or when we, you know, like you had said earlier, we go to firehouses all across the country. We do our workshops, or we love to do them. And there's some tough stuff that's delivered. There's gut checks for everybody that's there, because it's not just about putting the quote unquote costume on and playing the role. It's about, you know, taking good enough care of ourselves that we can actually function effectively in that role. You know, our friend John Dixon always likes to say that none of us were drafted into the fire service, right? So, and I believe wholeheartedly in that. It comes with definitely a higher standard that we need to live by. And so you need to accept that and be ready to carry that through your career. Otherwise, you're not doing it the way it's supposed to be done.
Right. Good point. I mean, when you brought up hydration, it's interesting to see that it's not just proper hydration now is being focused to sports athletes and amateur athletes and anybody else. Because I remember just about a year ago, my wife was having a real bad stomach bug virus, and I wanted to get her something that would help replenish her electrolytes. Well, it turned out that the company Propel, which we had been drinking for years, came out with a new product without caffeine, but with electrolytes, full electrolytes, vitamin zero water is another one. And now that's what we drink. Just to keep hydrated. And we keep several in the fridge for in case there's somebody sick and needs some of that electrolytes to help build them up. Because with her, that was what got her to the point of recovery again. Was mm-hmm. having a couple of those and that those electrolytes getting into her system and help to stop the vomiting and things like that. So it's great to see that some of the companies out there see not just the value of it, the monetary value, but they see what it can do for people and decide we're going to invest in this to help people and help us at the same time. And I think it's great.
And I'm glad you touched on hydration, which I mentioned is one of our pillars. And that's one of the things that firefighters definitely take for granted. Dr. Gavin Horn, who I mentioned before, and we have this stat in our book, he just did a study at a fire department. Firefighters all came in for their shifts. They measured their hydration levels, and 90% of them showed some signs of dehydration. 35%, I believe, showed severe signs of dehydration. So if we're showing up to these fires, especially in the summer months, if we show up to these fires already dehydrated, and we all know what firefighters typically love to drink, you know, whether it's a lot of coffee, a lot of sweet tea, a lot of soda, and especially for the newer generation coming on, a lot of energy drinks. Right. So if we're starting to use that instead of primarily focusing on water and we're showing up dehydrated, we're already at a huge disadvantage once we hit the fire ground. You know, firefighters can lose, once we're all geared up and we have all that heat stress, firefighters can lose 2 liters of water, of fluids in an hour of active firefighting. And so that just goes to show you, you know, the weight loss, the electrolyte loss, like you just said, it's just really so important to do what we call proactive hydration. So hydrating all along the day, before the fact, before your shift, if you know, especially it's going to be a 100-degree day with 100% humidity tomorrow, I should probably not be drinking any alcohol the night before. I should make sure that I'm aggressively hydrating the day before my shift and also the day of my shift. And in addition to that, one of the things you touched on or alluded to was the importance of rehab on fire ground scenes. And even if that's just something as simple as having your firefighters rest appropriately, doffing their gear, letting that heat, you know, get either gear, either body, and then also having them drink the Propels, the Gatorade, you know, water, as well as, you know, getting a towel and getting it wet, ice cold, and putting it on their forearms or in their, you know, wherever, armpits, around their neck. Those simple little things not only improve their hydration, but their cardiovascular health, and decreases the risk of cardiovascular events, because dehydration and heat stress are two of the toxic twins. You know, we have carbon monoxide and hydrogen cyanide, right? But what, you know, Dan and I also allude to is the toxic twins of heat stress and dehydration are so bad for firefighters. And we really need to address those through rehab and proactive hydration as well.
Yeah, I went through that myself in my second apartment up in Syracuse. It was a beautiful autumn day, but it was 81 degrees, and I was there for lunch, and we got a call out for a rollover off the interstate down the embankment. And so I got on the heavy rescue and went out on that. We had a van over the embankment about 50, 55 feet down the grass embankment. We needed ropes just to get down there. We were all geared up initially, full bunker gear. We didn't have to put on the tanks. In those days, my days, it was still steel tanks and steel planes.
Oh, why do you have back pain? No, go ahead.
Exactly. Well, actually, the back pain actually came from when I fell through the floor during training exercise with one leg. But now I blew out the knee, but they believe now, when I've repeated with the several physicians, that what probably happened was that frame, when it couldn't fit through the hole, jammed into my back. But the pain in my knee was so bad from blowing out the left knee that I didn't realize it until about 10 months later when I started. I never had back pain before, and that's when it started and got progressively worse. But that, we were going up and down with the Stokes basket, we lost three people in that accident. We had seven to rescue. And I couldn't stay the whole time because I had to get back to my office where I worked professionally, got back there, but I just was not feeling myself the rest of the day. And when it was time to go home, I called my wife, said, I'm just going to stop by the station. She goes, I just want to check on the guys from the rescue this afternoon. So I walked in there and I said, I'm not feeling well. So the two paramedics who were there just hanging out the firehouse worked me up, and my BP was really low, and I was dry as a clam, as they say.
Yeah.
And so they called the acting chief, and he said, now call EMS, have them come in, take them in. Because we would do it for what, you know, if it was on the scene. So this is just, you know, a couple of hours after the scene. So take them in. So I wound up getting two bags of lactated ringers.
Yeah.
Right. Dumped in, and a saline as well. And one of D5, a 500 bag of D5. And when the doctor came in to discharge me, he said, what the hell did you do yesterday? Your electrolyte, everything was gone. Where were you? So I told him what it was. He goes, you guys got to do something about that. You can't go on that way, especially if it's a hot day. You guys got to take care of yourselves. Oh, so yeah. I was the one who told the chief what the doctor said. And we went out, bought a big orange and white cooler and the powdered Gatorade. And that's, we always had hot cocoa and coffee for the winter.
Right.
We had nothing for spring and summer, you know, like that. So that started the tradition at that firehouse, that we always have to have something to help replenish what we wet off. Because
and small positive steps for, you know, that culture change at your fire department. One of the things that you said that I'm really glad you said is that I just didn't feel right, is what you said, right? And you went and you got checked, because I don't know how many times I've heard that, you know, and firefighters don't get checked, you know, and then they might die during their sleep, you know, whatever it may be. But this is just a PSA for everyone listening, is if something doesn't feel right, don't ignore it. You know, if you got a little twinge in your chest, you might write it off and be in denial that it's just muscular or whatever. If you're feeling excessively fatigued, if you're just feeling weak and just something isn't right, just don't hesitate to go get checked. And if you don't want to call an ambulance or something, go stop by a station where someone can give you a good workup and check your BP, take a 12 lead EKG of your heart at the very minimum, right? And then if it's not resolving itself, you know, without a doubt, call the doctor or go to the ER. But, I've heard too many firefighters just kind of write stuff off, be in denial, and then they don't wake up the next morning.
Well, it was actually, you know, the initiative from Gary Ludwig last year as the IAFC president was exactly that. You know, if you don't feel well, don't let it be your farewell. And we're continuing to push that. It wasn't a one-year thing. It was something that the SHS board picked up, and we're pushing that strong, and we'll continue to do so because, I mean, you know your body better than anybody else. You know how you normally feel, even when you're tired or fatigued, and you know, you're not going to convince me otherwise. You know when something's different. You know when you don't feel right for real. And we're not machines, whether it's behavioral health or physical health or whatever, you know, we're not robots. We're not machines. You know when something's not right with yourself. And if you don't do something about it, then you're putting yourself in a lot of jeopardy potentially, and we need to do a better job of that.
And maybe other people as well at the same time.
Absolutely. Exactly.
A couple of years ago, our mutual friend Joe DeVito invited me to teach at the Great Florida Fire School. And I said, Joe, you're nuts. I haven't taught in 35 years. He goes, no, you're passionate about something, aren't you? He goes, that's what you teach about. So I created the course, The Elephant in the Firehouse, When Ego Overtakes Passion.
Yeah. Good.
And that's
the problem. Worst thing.
Exactly. Because we know that, just as you said, Cap, that trying to say that if you know you're not feeling well, do something about it. And Chief Ludwig was on the show just before that went public. He shared it with me on that podcast. And we do something based on the cardiac, that cardiac thing for the exact same reason. But ego, time after time, and looking at some of these cases and stuff that I've read about, it's been ego that got in the way of that firefight. I got to be the one through that door, no matter what, even though he knew that he was having some chest pains on the way over, but it's got to be indigestion. I'm fine. I got to be the one through the door, but that's the one who falls, goes through the door, can't hold the nozzle, falls on the floor, and becomes what I call the first domino. And mm-hmm. You know, and one domino never falls by itself. We know that. We've seen it all. And so if he was the one through the door, he now jeopardizes his backup, his officer who's with him. Okay, now you're going to change everybody's duties on the fire ground completely around, because you need a RIT team to come in. You have a team on the roof. Now they don't have a hose line down below to protect them. So who's going to take care of them? It changes the whole
dynamic
of that scene. You can't let your ego get in the way of your personal health and taking care of others.
Yeah.
And I think you just said it beautifully.
Thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
I mean, this is what we care about. I mean, you know, people say, well, why do you care about firefighter health? You're not a firefighter anymore. I said, yes, I am.
You're always a firefighter.
I've defined myself. My family knows it. I'm a man of faith, a man of God, and I'm a firefighter. And I'm a father, and I'm a husband, and et cetera, and stuff like that. But I am a firefighter, and will be to the day the good Lord invites me to the big station in the sky.
That's right. That's right. That's why you still stop, right?
That's why I still stop, because I can't allow myself. If somebody's in need, I can't be the one to try. Somebody else will take care of them. I don't know if they will, especially today.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially today. I mean, it was... Okay, back in the 80s when I got out and got hurt initially, well, I could do it easier in early 90s. But, you know, now I'm getting close to the septuagenarian stage and about another year before that. And it's not quite as easy, but once that adrenaline flows, I know I can do what I have to do for as long as I can do it.
Right.
And I will always try to do that.
Exactly. I think we all will, right?
I hope so. I hope so. Well, I think, you know what? I think we've covered a lot today, and we've covered what I think is really important. Here we are 10 and a half months or so into our COVID experience, this pandemic experience. Yesterday, we all got some good news that is on the way, that a vaccine has shown 90% efficacy, which I've heard three different physicians say they never expected. They were going to be hoping for somewhere between 50 and 70. And
right.
So, you know, and another company is pretty close to finishing their third level trials. So,
Did you hear the joke though?
Oh no, what was the joke?
So the politicians are the first ones to receive it. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't work and they're no longer with us, then America is safe. So, I mean, it's a win-win.
That's a great way, because there was a lot of discussion yesterday of who gets it first.
Right, exactly.
And yet I, you know, someone said, well, that's not right. I said, oh, yes, it is. We have to give our first responders the first doses. They absolutely need it, because who's going to take care of the rest of us if they can't? And we've seen that happen. Look at the shortages that New York City ran into. I mean, the largest fire department in the world ran into such terrible shortages because of the number of people that were quarantined because of COVID. So if we can prevent that from happening from any department and make sure our first responders and our nurses and our medical people are inoculated first, then we can start with the seniors. And then we get to the lower, another borderline classes.
Right.
And then we
the lesser risk. Yeah.
Lesser risk. Right. And we bring that down. That's the way we would do it with any other medication. Even if we weren't in a pandemic, if we were looking for a cure, we would.
Who needs it the most?
Exactly. Yeah. Who needs it the most? And I think that's the sharpest way. So I think we've covered a lot of material that our listeners and viewers can take away that is just not necessarily just focused on lifting the kettlebells and pulling the ropes and dragging. But I think that you made that excellent point that we do have to pay more attention to, is that the physical fitness that you focus on needs to be related to the job you do. If you're a firefighter,
exactly,
one set. Maybe you're just an EMS, EMT or paramedic, and you're on the wagon, but you're not a firefighter. That's okay too. But then do the physical fitness that you need to do your job. You know, today most ambulances have the hydraulic lifts, hydraulic cots and stuff like that. When Dan and I started, there was no such, the only thing on the hydraulics was a pair of brakes on a semi. You know, we didn't have hydraulics in EMS or even on our rescues back in those days. You had to lift and load, and that's all it was about. And yeah, they said, well, lift with go down to your knees and lift up that way, not your back. Well, guess I may have missed a cue or two, but we have a lot of stuff that can help us today. We just have to put that ego aside and make use of it and know that we're all in this fight together, whether it's a chief, it's the rookie, it's the captain, it's the 5-year firefighter. We're all doing the same job, or you're an EMT or the paramedic. We're all doing one job, and that's to help other people. But if you can't,
I couldn't agree more.
If you can't help them because you haven't taken care of yourself, then you're not of any assistance. Move out of the way and let somebody else in who can do it. And I think that's what your overall message has been since we've met through our first podcast, but with the book when it came out, and that's why it's still on our website. I don't know, what it leads to, but it's still there with the link. I hope that with today's podcast and YouTube, that they'll understand that there's a greater picture for wellness than just physical fitness.
Yeah. Right.
Because your exercises alone will not make you the firefighter you need to be.
Yep. Taking that comprehensive approach will, though, like we talked about.
Right. Chief, anything you want to close with?
Am I on mute? No.
Okay. Nope, you're good.
No, I appreciate, I just want to thank you for having us back on. A lot of folks listen to you and your work, and any chance we can take to get that message out there to just ultimately at the end of the day, Jim and I we're just firefighters that just want to help other firefighters and emergency responders just improve, and however we can do that. We always tell everybody, we answer every text, email, message, however you get a hold of us, we answer every single person. We want to help everybody from the big groups right on down to the individual. So, please reach out to us if you need anything. Firefighterfunctionalfitness.com is our website. Put a /workshops at the end. If you want information on our workshops, we will come out and present to you. Locally, you can do a regional thing at a fire academy, whatever it takes. If we can get there, we'll do it, and
however we can help you, that's why we're here. It's just as simple as that.
All right. Now, how can they reach you on social media?
So our social media. I'll take this. I'm our social media guy. So
you're the guy. Why am I talking to
the guy? If you go to our Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, all you need to do is follow @FirefighterFFit. So that's @FirefighterFFit. And then that's all the handle for all three of our social medias. As Dan said, firefighterfunctionalfitness.com. If you want to shoot us an email, that's firefighterfunctionalfitness@gmail.com. And like Dan said, and we're always looking forward to hearing from people. If you do have our book, please, please, please go leave us a review on Amazon. They're so important to get people who are on the fence about maybe buying it. Sure. They'll be able to see if it's the right fit for them. And we can guarantee that it is. I mean, it's already in 50 countries worldwide. So it's definitely not something for American firefighters alone. It's for everybody who does this job. And we're grateful and humbled by that. But thanks for having us on. It's been a great conversation, and can't wait for the next time.
Well, you always have an open invitation. Whenever you guys have something great you want to share, just give me a shout, and we'll make time.
Thanks
the date to do it. So thanks
Steve.
Really appreciate for your time and everything you're doing to help the fire service, both in your communities in this country and worldwide, with the book. And that's where it needs to be. We want to help each other, and that's what it's all about. Right?
Amen. Likewise. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much, folks. We'll be right back right after this word. If you're listening to the audio, if you're listening to the video, thanks very much. And we'll see you next time around. Stay safe and stay well. You're listening to 5 Alarm Task Force.
Remember when you were a young boy or girl and someone bullied or teased you? Where do you most often turn? Like many of us, you turn to your family. If you're a first responder, you probably no longer worry about those childhood problems. But there are plenty more that can affect us. Lack of sleep, the tragedy and horror we often see, even life's everyday stumbling blocks, like family illness, money, job problems, and more. So where do you turn now? Your gut reaction might be to keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about the hell you're going through. However, that's not going to help you or anyone else. Instead, you could start with your second family, someone you work with at the firehouse, on the ambulance, or at the station. You spend a lot of time with them, and most of them understand many of the problems you're dealing with. Reach out to a coworker or an officer you trust. Speak to clergy at your house of worship, or contact your SISM team. Don't keep it inside, gnawing away at you. That's not good for you or anyone around you. Know that there are people who stand ready to listen to you and help you without passing judgment. Remember, to carry out your oath to protect life and property, the first life you have to care for is your own. Brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force, along with the Critical Incident Stress Management Team in your area, close by and confidential.
It just slows me down.
It's too hard to do it and put my gear on.
I'm not comfortable.
I'm a big guy, I can't do it.
I'm just not comfortable wearing it.
You gotta be kidding me. Real firefighters don't need them.
Come on, there's no way I can wear my SCBA and my seatbelt at the same time.
Yes, we've heard all the excuses, but we can think of at least one good reason why you should buckle up. Can't you? Be a hero to those who mean the most to you. Buckle up. A message from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Hi, this is Steve. In today's podcast with our terrific guests, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss, who basically focus on firefighter health, overall wellness, and fitness for duty. And part of that overall wellness, and we discussed it briefly in this podcast, is mental health of firefighters. Now, we've had guests on who know about these situations and deal with them on a regular basis. But here's a fact that was just released in the NFPA's recent report on firefighter fatalities for 2019. According to the FBHA, our good friend Jeff Dill at Firefighter Behavioral Health Alliance, 119 firefighters and 20 EMTs and or paramedics died by their own hand in 2019. 119. That's an amazing number. From those, there are probably those active, those retired, those disabled. Doesn't make any difference. They took their own life. And the question is, why? Was it illness? Was it the feeling of being left out? We don't know at this moment. But the fact is, we know that our job places a tremendous amount of stress, mental and physical stress, on us. And while today we concentrated on the physical stress that we go through, we cannot just brush aside the behavioral health imbalance that our jobs create. Our hours, lack of sleep, poor nutrition, poor preparation, plus add in the horror that we often see, all too often, I should say, see. That can take a tremendous toll on anyone. If you've watched any of the newscasts over the last 6 to 8 months, you're hearing professional medical people, doctors, nurses who've worked for years, almost with tears in their eyes as they talk about losing patients in this pandemic. And we need to know that as far as behavioral health in the fire service, there are things we can do. We can look at a peer support group. We can look towards our incident management stress debriefing people. You need to know that there is always someone on the other end of the phone if you text the word badge to 741741. You are never alone. There is family. Oh, they won't understand me. Yes, they'll appreciate it. There's your clergy person. He or she listens to a lot more trouble than you can even imagine, and they know how to help those who are troubled. And you can turn to the FHBA itself. Go to a chief officer. They're not going to boot you out because you're having this problem. Maybe it's a serious issue in the family life that they don't know about, but it's taking a tremendous toll on you. You can share that and keep it private with an officer or the chief of your department. You don't have to keep it bottled up inside, waiting for that bottle to explode. Hundreds, if not thousands of us are out here willing to talk, to be a set of shoulders and a pair of ears for you to lean on and speak with. You never are alone. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. If you're a career firefighter, volunteer, paid on call, paramedic, EMT. You know why? Because we've all been there. Even though I only had 8 years, I saw some terrific, horrific, terrible scenes in that time. Just terrible. And some of them took a toll on me. And I had to speak to someone about it that I trusted. Okay. Didn't make me less of a firefighter or an EMT or a medic. Didn't make me less of a man. I just knew that I didn't want to take this out on my family. And so I had to go outside to find someone I could speak with. So please, if you're having a behavioral health issue and you think there's nowhere to turn, you're wrong. There are plenty of us around who want to help. And as I said, if you want to keep it totally private by yourself, you can always text the word badge to 741741. That number will always be answered when you text it. Okay? Please. coming to the holiday season, and we know how difficult that can be for so many people, not just first responders. But this year is different than any other holiday season we've ever lived through. It's going to be difficult, especially when we can't get together with the ones we love like we hoped for or planned to. They can't fly in, you can't fly out, whatever the case may be. Take time to think about your inner well-being, your mind's well-being, your emotional well-being. And know that there are people who do care about you. Even if they're complete strangers, don't let that stop you. They care, we care. And that's my view. When most of us see an engine, a ladder company, or ambulance, we think about some of the runs we've been on, or we look forward to the next one coming. But what if that rig shows up at your home for an emergency? Repairs, deductibles, copays, and other out-of-pocket expenses quickly add up. You know our podcast, Five Alarm Task Force. We have been bringing you some of the best instructors, mentors, and other experts in the fire service and emergency medicine for over four seasons. And now, our new nonprofit, Five Alarm Task Force Corp, wants to be able to help you if you find yourself or your family in dire need. Since we launched the nonprofit, our website visits have truly increased, yet only one donation has come in. Look, 2020 has been a crappy year for most of us, and money is tight. It's no different in my own home, where only my wife is able to work. That's right, I became medically disabled in 1992. Sure, a new implant reduced my pain during the day and lets me do some more, but I can't work. With that said, we are not asking you for $100 or even $50. Could you contribute $1, $5, or even $10? If so, those add up. So please head over to our website, 5-AlarmTaskForceCorp.org. On the top menu, please select the Our Mission tab to learn more about our efforts to help firefighters and other first responders in dire need. On many of the pages, you'll see our donate button from our good friends at PayPal. And you don't have to have a PayPal account. You can use any debit or credit card that you normally do, and your donation may be tax deductible for you. With the holidays almost around the corner, you will know that your donation will go to help our colleagues. We do it every day for strangers, don't we? And we have to help our own when he or she is in dire need. Thanks very much, and please pass it on. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay well. Please contact your tax advisor for the determination if your donation will be tax deductible for you.
Did you know that 90% of American communities are served by volunteer fire departments? And that many of those departments are actively looking for more volunteers? When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer and combo departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques and protecting your community at the same time. You will be joining the ranks of over 1 million men and women who serve their cities and towns, protecting lives and property. Did you know that the founder of the first volunteer fire department was Benjamin Franklin? If old Ben can do it, so can you. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer. Sure, it takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. Alternate. Did you know that 7 out of 10 firefighters in the U.S. are volunteers? And the number of volunteer firefighters is declining every year. Most American fire companies are working to recruit new members. When you hear those sirens, do you say to yourself, "Wish I could do that"? If you have the drive to serve, you can be a volunteer too. Volunteer fire departments are always looking for new recruits. You'll be trained in the latest firefighting and rescue techniques, as well as emergency medical services to protect your community. Volunteers are also needed to help with fundraisers, conduct fire safety programs, and pitch in around the fire station. Drop by your local fire department and introduce yourself. You just might know some of the folks already there. Before you know it, those volunteers will be like family. Anyone can be a volunteer. Sure, it takes time and effort, but in your heart, you'll realize that it's all worth it. Want more information? Contact your local fire department or visit makemeafirefighter.org. Presented by the National Volunteer Fire Council and Five Alarm Task Force.
And that wraps this episode of Five Alarm Task Force, brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We'd like to thank our guests, Chief Dan Kerrigan and Captain Jim Moss, for joining us to discuss firefighter health, wellness, and fitness for duty. Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for Five Alarm Task Force. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC and the Firehouse Tribune, and our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, LifeScan Wellness Centers, Nesta Bars, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info@5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 5alarmtaskforce. On Facebook, just search for 5alarmtaskforcecorp. And on YouTube, please subscribe to our channel, 5alarmtaskforcecorp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcast, our new nonprofit foundation, and our blog on our website, www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.